You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's multi-award-winning boutique wealth manager. This week I'm speaking to Aidan Freswick in the Cape Town office. And there's a piece on BizNews that says the following. This is the headline: the hidden risk of playing it safe with your money. Now, Aidan, this is particularly pertinent at the moment because it's a perceived risky environment with the war on Iran by the US and Israel. And people, when people see risk and headlines of risk and horrible images on television, they immediately run to the safety of money market and cash and other perceived safe instruments, don't they?
Good afternoon, Lindsay, and welcome to your listeners as well.
Thank you.
We definitely have those conversations on a day-to-day basis with clients, especially now, and as you've pointed out, with many of the news headlines could obviously be a bit alarming for investors. And as you point out, money market and fixed deposits normally are sort of the go-to in these times. But, you know, generally it's because they feel quite secure that their investment account or their, you know, the account balance does not fluctuate with markets and not exposed to any, I would say, geopolitical factors or anything out there. So generally, money market has been a good place to hide in terms of guaranteeing a safety net. But at the end of the day, you know, what I want to unpack is that money market should not be a long-term investment solution, really, because there's a number of factors which we will unpack, especially inflation and income tax. So yeah, I'd like to unpack a couple of those points as well.
Yeah, let's do that. And before we get into it, we have to say that we've got nothing against, or you've got nothing against, money market and cash as part of a diversified, balanced portfolio. It does have its role, but it shouldn't be the go-to, is what is going to come out during this podcast. Anyway, that's the sort of disclaimer right up front. Now, you start with the difference between capital safety and purchasing power. What do you mean by that?
Sure. So there are two sides to this. So money market accounts definitely provide the safety net for individuals that want to protect their capital and not expose the amount to any market volatility or any potential risks that could devalue the investment account, for example. But on the other hand, we've got a scenario of the inflation, the rate of inflation that we need to measure these returns by. So on the other hand, money market gives the safety net by guaranteeing a certain outcome of the investment. Let's call it 7 or 7.5% will be guaranteed if you invest in the money market account. But at the end of the day, inflation is very slowly eroding the purchasing power of your funds or investors' funds, call it that. Now, what we see on the headlines is that inflation is maybe 3 or 4, maybe 4.5%, and the returns of money market are maybe around 7, 7.5%. But at the end of the day, the real inflation, the one that you and I as a consumer actually experience on a day-to-day basis, is a lot higher than 4%, especially the inflation. So rising costs like education and especially medical aid probably rises close to 7 or 8% per annum. So arguably, inflation is definitely a lot higher than 4, 4.5%. Now, if you take that against your returns of money market, you're actually eroding the purchasing power of your capital very slowly because you can't really see the impact of inflation against your money market returns unless you really dig deep and do the analysis. But that's what I meant about the difference between the capital safety and the purchasing power, that inflation really, really does erode the purchasing power of your capital. And one needs to look a bit further and, you know, especially if you have funds that are earmarked for long-term investments, especially for retirement, call it that, we need to then look at alternatives to try and keep up with the rising cost of living and to sort of better position the investor to provide for the rising cost and especially to keep up with the cost of living at a future date, especially over the long term. And that's what's meant by the difference between capital safety and purchasing power.
And you've mentioned inflation a couple of times. Inflation is a tax. Inflation is the enemy to an investor. And often when you see the South African Reserve Bank gleefully coming out and saying that the inflation rate is 3.1% or something, you say, wait a second, I'm just looking at my bills from last year compared to this year. And that's because your basket is very different to the South African Reserve Bank's inflation basket. Indeed. Your basket of goods is different. Everybody's is different. If you're a low-income or a high-income person, there's a great difference between the amount that you spend on shelter and energy as a percentage, and so it goes on. And so it goes on as well when it comes to another thing that you must look at when you're seeking to flee to safety, so-called, and money market rates. And that is interest rates, because, for example, this week, Aidan, I don't know if you know it, but there are 8 central banks making decisions on the price of money, i.e. interest rates. And if they cut interest rates, that cuts your return if you're in cash or if you're in the money market, doesn't it?
That's right. And obviously, you know, the interest rate expectations might be a little bit different now with the ongoing war and the oil price especially. But generally, the interest rates are due to come down, you know, very slowly or aggressively, depending on what the Reserve Bank ultimately votes on. So if you look at the interest rates, and let's assume the interest rates are expected to decrease, immediately will impact the returns of money market, because money market returns are directly related to the interest rates that are prescribed by the Reserve Bank. But maybe just another thought is that, let's assume you are a high-income taxpayer. Now, we mentioned inflation that actually erodes the purchasing power and also erodes the returns profile. But we haven't spoken about tax, and tax is probably the biggest elephant in the room, and I'll tell you why. If you are on the higher end of the tax-paying bracket, if you're fortunate enough to be there, then it means that because SARS doesn't allow for much of an exemption for interest income, you're going to be paying tax on the interest that you earn at your marginal tax rate. So if you're on the 45% tax bracket, it means you automatically need to deduct 45% from the returns that you're getting, which means that you definitely are eroding the purchasing power of your capital. But to your first point, there is a role for money market in an overall diversified portfolio, especially with short-term needs. I would say anything between 6 months and 12 months would be an appropriate time frame to keep some funds in money market. But anything longer than that, one would need to seek appropriate advice to get alternatives, especially for tax efficiency and to also protect the purchasing power against the impact of inflation.
Right. Let's get down to the cold, hard facts now. We've talked about theory. We've talked about the various things that can erode your safe investment. But what does long-term data tell us? I mean, what are the simple facts of being in, for example, a money market fund versus being in something slightly more speculative, shall we say? I've got a lovely graph in front of me that you sent me, but it's very difficult to describe on a podcast, but you've got the job of doing that. What are the long-term data points that you want to point out?
Sure. So there are different asset classes out there that are available to investors to actually invest in. But generally over the long term, and especially for long-term investors that are willing to commit to markets and ignore the headlines and stick to the overall financial plan that was devised for them, is that generally equities over the long term have handsomely outperformed money market. However, one doesn't need to be invested, you know, completely in equities. We can build a very balanced and diversified portfolio consisting of multiple asset classes, including cash and money market for safety reasons. So generally, you know, if you have a balanced portfolio consisting of cash, bonds, properties, and equities, you will almost be certain that going forward and over the long run, it will outperform your money market returns over those periods. However, like I've mentioned, and also a little bit of a disclaimer, is that over 12 months or anything shorter than 12 months would have an ideal place for money market, but anything longer than that, investors should consider alternatives and seek appropriate advice, because advisors have the ability and knowledge to construct diversified portfolios according to the needs and future needs of any investor out there.
Yeah, and you talk about the volatility of asset classes like equities, for example. And a great example of that was Liberation Day in April of 2025, plus, of course, the war that I mentioned in my introduction. It hasn't been such a volatile period, only for the oil price, not so much for equities, but the point is that they are more volatile than the money markets, equities, that is. So the right role for money markets, as you say, is over a 12-month period, potentially, and in a diversified portfolio. And that's key, isn't it? It's got its place, a small percentage, as long as the rest of the portfolio is diversified, Aidan.
That's correct. The correct place for money market is really just for short-term needs, and also for a need that when you need to access the funds, that the value does not become less than what you've put away. For example, if you need to purchase a property and you need a certain amount for the deposit, you cannot actually have the risk of the capital being slightly below value or slightly below the amount that you've saved up towards, because the deposit on a home is an exact amount that you need. So in those cases, or even if you want to buy a vehicle, or if you're saving up for your emergency fund to supplement your income in case there are rainy days, those type of scenarios would be the ideal place and the role for money markets. But as you've pointed out, long-term investors definitely need to seek alternatives, especially in the rising inflation environment, and also in an environment where interest rates are potentially coming down.
You sum up your article by saying protecting your future purchasing power. This is interesting take on it, because you say ultimately investing isn't just about protecting the value of your capital today. It's about protecting the lifestyle that capital must support tomorrow. So if, for example, you're not keeping up with inflation because you are playing it safe, then tomorrow doesn't look good. Never mind today. Tomorrow suddenly looks even worse because there's more erosion. And the other thing that I want you to mention as well, if possible, Aidan, is there's a misconception that when you become older, that means that you take on less risk. Sometimes it's appropriate, but often it's not. I don't think age has much to do with it these days.
Not at all. I mean, we'll of course look at a scenario and see and evaluate how much risk the investor is willing to take. But sometimes there is the scenario where calculated risk needs to be taken in order to achieve a certain outcome. And what I mean by that is, for example, if the investor maybe doesn't have enough capital to survive over the amount of time that they need, we might need to take on a little bit more risk in order to give the investor a better chance of achieving the outcome over the long term. And that's just one of the, I would say, scenarios of where we need to actually increase the risk profile of the client and not necessarily factor in the age, but factor in the investment needs of the investor, especially if they need to achieve a certain outcome at a particular time. We might need to take on a little bit more risk than what typically would have been the case if there was maybe a surplus amount of capital available. But it all depends, and it's always going to come down to the needs of the investor. And that's how we give our financial advice to our clients.
Exactly. So if you're in doubt, if you think you're playing it too safe, or if you think even you're playing it a little bit too close to the wind, then speak to your financial advisor. Aidan Freswick is from Brenthurst Wealth, and that was It's My Money. It's My Money was brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.